Hello, this is Kurt Benrud for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading movie reviews and theater previews. These are reviews of movies and previews of local theater that are available with audio description. So let's take a look at what do we got live. Well, Wicked by the SunTrust Broadway series in the Durham Performing Arts Center has added a second audio-described performance, and that's coming up this Friday, May 14th at 8 p.m. Wicked, the untold story of the Witches of Oz, because, you see, so much happened before Dorothy dropped in. More on that in a minute. On Sunday, May 23rd, 2 p.m., Sleeping Beauty by Carolina Ballet in Raleigh's Memorial Auditorium. And a ways down the road, but I think the most important one, and you'll find out in a minute why, Friday, June 25th, 8 p.m., Dancing at Lunasa by the Justice Theater Project in the Cardinal Gibbons High School Performing Arts Center. Here it is. Call them at 215-0889, that's 215-0889, for free tickets. And what they're prepared to do is one blind patron and one companion. Comps on the free tickets. It looks to me like they're talking about an unlimited number, so go for it. Anyway, Wicked, the untold story of the Witches of Oz. Long before that girl from Kansas arrives in Munchkin Land, two girls meet in the Land of Oz. One, born with emerald green skin, is smart, fiery, and misunderstood. The other is beautiful, ambitious, and very popular. How these two grow to become the Wicked Witch of the West and Glinda the Good Witch makes for the most complete and completely satisfying new musical in a long time, so says the USA Today. On Broadway and around the world, Wicked has worked its magic on critics and audiences alike, winner of 26 major awards, including a Grammy and 3 Tony Awards. Wicked, says the New York Times, is Broadway's biggest blockbuster. The running time is 2 hours and 45 minutes with 1 20-minute intermission. It's recommended for children ages 8 and older, and I guess that includes me here at age 58. Tickets run from $30 to $140. If you want to make reservations for this Friday's 8 p.m. showing, that's Friday, May 14th, of Wicked at the Durham Performing Arts Center, you must call. It's area 919-680-2780. That's 919-680-2780 for Wicked by SunTrust Broadway Series. Sleeping Beauty by Carolina Ballet offers choreography by Robert Weiss and music composed by Peter Tchaikovsky. Once upon a time in a kingdom far away, a beautiful princess is born, only to be cursed to sleep for 100 years until awakened by the kiss of a prince. With music by Tchaikovsky and choreography by Robert Weiss, after Marius Petipa's original, this Sleeping Beauty offers a happy ending, 100% guaranteed. Tickets range from $18 to $58, and you can make reservations for this Sunday, May 23rd, 2 p.m. showing of Sleeping Beauty by calling area 919-719-0900. That's area 919-719-0900. And now a look at Dancing at Lunasa. This is a play by Brian Friel. I'm going to add that I have been in a production of this once a long time ago at Raleigh Little Theater. I'm looking forward to attending somebody else's production of it. This is by the Justice Theater Project, and in this play, 5 unmarried sisters in a small Irish village in 1936 hope and dream of a better life, while music from their radio transforms and transports them. This haunting play is a tribute to the spirit and valor of family. It won 3 Tony Awards. Now, during the festival at Lunasa, which celebrates the pagan god of the harvest with drunken revelry and dancing, their spare existence is interrupted by brief, colorful bursts of music from the radio, their only link to the romance and hope of the world at large. The play is told through the memory of the illegitimate son of one of the sisters, as he remembers the five women who raised him, his mother and his four maiden aunts. He's only seven in 1936, the year his elderly uncle, a priest, returns after serving for 25 years as a missionary in a Ugandan leper colony. The sisters acquire their first radio, whose music transforms them from correct Catholic women to shrieking, stomping banshees in their own kitchen. He meets his father for the first time, a charming Welsh drifter, who strolls up the lane and sweeps his mother away in an elegant dance across the fields. This haunting play is a tribute to the spirit and valor of family, and that's Dancing at Lunasa by the Justice Theater Project. It's a ways away. It's Friday, June 25th, 8 p.m. Don't forget that you can call to get free tickets at 919-215-0889. That's 919-215-0889 for Dancing at Lunasa. And since the Durham Performing Arts Center is going to be offering a second audio-described performance of Wicked, let's take a look at Robert McDowell's review of it. He says, Wicked is the gem of the Durham Performing Arts Center's 2009-2010 season. And it's the 2003 Broadway blockbuster with music and lyrics by Stephen Schwartz and book by Winnie Holtzman, based on the fabulous 1995 fantasy novel by Gregory Maguire. It's the jewel in the crown for DPAC's 2009-2010 SunTrust Broadway series, and oh my, how it sparkles. Wicked is not just an entertainment option. It is an event made ever more grand and glorious by the brisk and often brilliant direction of Joe Mantello, the kinetic musical staging of Wayne Cilento, and the rousing accompaniment by music director, conductor Adam Souza, and a 14-piece orchestra that includes nine local musicians playing their hearts out. The production values of this bus and truck tour are also outstanding, with the 2004 Tony Award-winning set design of Eugene Lee and Technicolor costumes of fellow 2004 Tony winner Susan Hilferty, both tailored to fit the DPAC stage, and all manners of wonders and marvels. Indeed, any show that begins with a red-eyed, fire-breathing dragon glowering over the stage out into the audience makes the viewer sit up and take notice. But it is the crackerjack characterizations of Vicky Noon as Elphaba Thropp, a.k.a. the Wicked Witch of the West, and especially Natalie Daradich as Galinda Upland, a.k.a. Glinda the Good Witch, that makes the audience want to stand up and cheer, as it did long and loud at the end of the April 22nd performance. Noon is delightful as the girl with the green skin. Elphaba may be a social outcast at Shiz University, but she is a brilliant and compassionate student with a special empathy for the plight of capital A intelligent animals, who can talk and walk upright and are smarter than some of her classmates. Although a campus pariah, Elphaba also has a natural gift for witchcraft, an infinity that becomes dangerous whenever an injustice trips Elphaba's hair-trigger temper. Scene-stealer Natalie Daradich gives a pixelated performance as the glamorous and incurably vain Glinda, Elphaba's reluctant roommate and a regular Mrs. Malaprop, who mangles the English language worse than former President George W. Bush. Shallow and self-absorbed to the nth degree, Glinda initially recoils at the outrageous otherness of the green girl, but improbably the two become best friends. More than anything, Glinda wants to be popular. She's a social butterfly hoping to spread her wings at the highest levels of ASEAN society, whereas Elphaba is resigned to be a misfit. I'm not that girl, whose occasional emotional outbursts are terrifying to the beholders, even if she doesn't bespell them. Vicky Noon and Natalie Deredich sing two dazzling duets, the defiant Defying Gravity and For Good, a sublime testimonial to their unlikely friendship, which alone are worth the price of admission. But this terrific national tour of Wicked features other superlative songs and other charismatic characterizations. Chris Peluso gives a crowd-pleasing portrayal of Fiero from the Vincas, a handsome prince and bon vivant who is initially as superficial as Glinda, but gradually empathizes with Elphaba and grows to love her. Indeed, Fiero's possession of love for Elphaba in As Long As You're Mine is one of the loveliest love songs ever, and Peluso and Vicky Noon left the DPAC audience with a lump in its throat. David DeVries is wonderful as the talking goat, Dr. Dillamond, the only capital A animal left on the faculty of Shiz University, until he's fired by orders and the not-so-wonderful Wizard of Oz, played by Don Amendola, banished from the university and loses his powers to speak and walk upright. Marilyn Caskey makes Madame Morrible, the naughty and aptly named headmistress of Craig Hall at Shiz University, thoroughly hissable. The Machiavellian madam teaches sorcery at Shiz and specializes in black magic spells that gin up meteorological phenomena such as the tornado that whisks 12-year-old Dorothy Gale from her farm in Kansas to Munchkin Land. The truly wicked Wonderful Wizard of Oz, who shamelessly fools ASEANs with technological tricks that he pretends are magic, is played with great relish by Don Amendola. A dictator who rules the Emerald City with an iron hand, the wizard sets out to crush Elphaba, first by publicly branding her as wicked, and then by turning the population against her and her comrades in the capital A Animal Liberation Movement. Zach Hanna is cute as the merry munchkin lad, Boak, who has a monster-sized, totally unrequited crush on Glinda, and Michelle London is good as Elphaba's wheelchair-bound younger sister, Nessa Rose, who becomes the Wicked Witch of the East after donning the magical silver slippers that Elphaba gives her, so that she can walk unaided. Don Richard and Carrie Blanchard contribute sharply etched cameos as the stuffy governor of Munchkin Land and his round-heeled wife, who gives birth to Elphaba after a whirlwind affair with a stranger that lasted a single night, but conceives Nessa Rose with her husband. K.C. Fredericks also deserves kudos for his acrobatic performance as the laboratory monkey Chistery, who earns his wings during the course of this must-see musical, produced by Mark Platt, Universal Pictures, the Erica Group, John B. Platt, and David Stone. So there is a new witch in town, as Vicky Noon is Elphaba in the upcoming Wicked. Another quote on this: the music is so beautiful and the writing is so smart, that's why people keep coming back. It's a show that people of all ages can reach out to. It's so amazing. And once again, this is Wicked, the untold story of the Witches of Oz, which is playing this Friday, May 14th at 8 p.m. at the Durham Performing Arts Center in Durham, and you can pay between $30 and $140 and call them at 919-680-2780. That's 919-680-2780. Well, if you believe the advertisements that you hear, the two biggies on the upcoming movie circuit are Robin Hood and Iron Man 2. Both of these are rated PG-13, and both of these are opening this week in the area, the Beaver Creek Stadium in Apex and the White Oak Stadium in Garner. Both have Robin Hood opening on the 14th, which is this Thursday. And is how long it'll run? It looks like it'll be longer than a week because it says May 14th through open. And the North Hills Stadium in Raleigh is opening Iron Man 2 this Friday, May 14th. And got you some reviews here. Since we got two showings of Robin Hood, let's read that one first. This is going to be a review here. Actually, it's a couple of reviews. Let me give you the information first. It's an action-adventure drama. It runs for 2 hours and 28 minutes, rated PG-13, directed by Ridley Scott. We've got Russell Crowe, Kate Blanchett, William Hurt, Mark Strong, Mark Addy, Oscar Isaac, Danny Houston, Eileen Atkins, and Max von Sydow. Robin Hood chronicles the life of an expert archer, previously interested only in self-preservation from his service in King Richard's army against the French. Upon Richard's death, Robin travels to Nottingham, a town suffering from the corruption of a despotic sheriff and crippling taxation, where he falls for the spirited widow Lady Marian, a woman skeptical of the identity and motivations of this crusader from the forest. Hoping to earn the hand of Maid Marian and salvage the village, Robin assembles a gang whose lethal mercenary skills are matched only by its appetite for life. Together they begin preying on the indulgent upper class to correct injustices under the sheriff. With their country weakened from decades of war, embattled from the ineffective rule of the new king, and vulnerable to insurgencies from within and threats from afar, Robin and his men heed a call to ever greater adventure. This unlikeliest of heroes and his allies set off to protect their country from slipping into bloody civil war and to return glory to England once more. At the turn of the 12th century in England, Richard the Lionheart, played by Danny Houston, is returning from the Crusades, but is killed in France along with several of his knights. One of the king's best archers, Robin Longstride, played by Russell Crowe, promises the dying Sir Robert Locksley, played by Douglas Hodge, to deliver his sword to Robert's father, Sir Walter Locksley, played by Max von Sydow in Nottingham. Back in England, Richard's pathetic brother, Prince John, played by Oscar Isaac, begins to impose crippling new taxes with the help of the sinister Godfrey, played by Mark Strong, against the advice of his chancellor, William Marshall, played by William Hurt. When Robin arrives in Nottingham, the Locksley estate is almost broke, despite the efforts of Lady Marian Locksley, played by Kate Blanchett, who is Sir Robert's young widow. The country is on the verge of civil war, and the French king, Jonathan Zakai as the actor, is leading an invasion across the Channel. Embraced by the Locksleys, Robin takes the place of Sir Robert and helps lead the fight against both King John and the French, and hopes to win the heart of Marian. But as the champion of a new charter setting down rights for the people, Robin is declared an outlaw by King John. Here's a review by Louise Keller, who says that scale, spectacle, and heart make Ridley Scott's Robin Hood a heart-pumping and satisfying tale, with Russell Crowe etching his initials on Robin's bow as surely as he left them on Maximus' sword in Gladiator. Never give up is the film's theme, as we are swept back in time to the 12th century, where treachery, greed, and ambition swirl together like perilous quicksand. The battle scenes are impressive, the locations dramatic, but neither can overshadow the film's central humanity of honesty and courage, epitomized by Crowe's Robin Hood. In the opening bloody battlefield sequence, when King Richard the Lionheart asks Robin Longstride to answer honestly, even if it means revealing something the king would not want to hear, not only do we know the archer is brave, but shows he has the power of his own convictions. Nottingham, with its picturesque countryside, velvet green hills, thatched cottages, crystal streams, and geese waddling down its dirt roads, is where Robin's sense of honor leads him. Finding his destiny becomes his reward, which includes meeting Kate Blanchett's Lady Marian, the much-anticipated screen union between Blanchett and Crow. Their strength of presence, chemistry, and appeal is perfectly balanced. Robin and the feisty Marian's getting to know each other is deliciously punctuated by humor, and director Scott teases us by prolonging their antagonism as Robin is invited to her bedchamber, a ruse for the benefit of their servants. The film's most emotionally potent scenes belong to Max von Sydow as Marian's elderly father-in-law, who may be physically blind but clearly sees what is important. Each cast member is hand-picked. Special mention goes to Mark Strong, haunting as the two-faced, bilingual Godfrey who chooses to speak English or French to indicate his fractured loyalty. Mark Isaac is suitably slimy as the cowardly Prince John, and William Hurt and Danny Houston also effective. I like Mark Addy, too, as the convivial, beekeeping Friar Tuck, who has a taste for the alcoholic honey mead and the circumstances which prompt him to join Robin's band of men. The hair stood up on the back of my neck as a herd of horses thundered along the clifftop ready for battle, and I shivered as the fatal curtain of arrows through the sky hit their targets. Screenwriter Brian Hegeland manages to fascinate us with the historic elements while simultaneously weaving into the fabric a vibrant human story that makes us relate and care for the characters. Every minute of the long running time holds. I don't want the adventure to end. After all, this is a story that has not been told, how Robin Hood became a legend, a formidable film with the formidable Russell Crowe at perfect pitch. Robin Hood hits the bullseye, so says Louise Keller. Let's look at Iron Man 2 here. Its running time is 2 hours and 5 minutes. It's rated PG-13, directed by Jon Favreau, starring Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, Paul Bettany, Samuel L. Jackson, Sam Rockwell, Mickey Rourke, Gwyneth Paltrow, Jon Favreau, Kate Mara, and Leslie Bibb. In Iron Man 2, the world is aware that billionaire inventor Tony Stark is the armored superhero Iron Man. Under pressure from the government, the press, and the public to share his technology with the military, Tony is unwilling to divulge the secrets behind the Iron Man armor because he fears the information will slip into the wrong hands. With Pepper Potts and James Rhodey Rhodes at his side, Tony forges new alliances and confronts powerful new sources. Now, Roger Ebert gives this 3 out of 4 possible stars and says Iron Man 2 is a polished, high-octane sequel, not as good as the original, but building once again on a quirky performance by Robert Downey Jr. The superhero genre doesn't necessarily require good acting, but when it's there, as in Iron Man and The Dark Knight, that takes it up a level. Downey here gives us a Tony Stark who is cockier and more egotistical than ever. Or, here's the key, he seems to be. All heroes have a fatal flaw. That's one of the rules of the road in fiction. Tony Stark's flaw is that he is dying. The megalomaniac act comes naturally, and now it's useful as a cover-up. His chest-mounted battery pack, or life source, or whatever it is running low and poisoning his blood. It works by using the rarest element in the periodic table, and to renew it would require discovering or inventing a new element. Not easy. So Tony stands aside at big events and uses a little blood monitor, helpfully named the Stark Blood Monitor, in case anybody sees it, that tells him his blood toxicity is relentlessly climbing toward death. This is his private fear, not even shared with the loyal Pepper Potts, played by Gwyneth Paltrow, who is running his company. Stark is sponsoring a Stark Expo at the site of the New York World's Fair, and he flies in for an appearance in the Iron Man suit and promises world peace. The arena is thronged with adoring fans. Imagine Steve Jobs announcing iPad 3. But trouble is brewing. His arch-rival, Justin Hammer, played by Sam Rockwell, plans an army of rival iron suits. A congressional committee is headed by the fatuous Senator Stern, played by Gary Shandling, and it wants Stark to make Iron Man the exclusive property of the Defense Department. And in Russia, the bitter Ivan Vanko, played by Mickey Rourke, believes Stark's father stole the Iron Man secrets from his own father. Hammer hires Vanko to design a better suit than Stark's. The two suit designs go to war. We get half an hour of sensational special effects, and Bob's your uncle. But you also have a niece, a sexy martial arts expert played by Scarlett Johansson, who may be more than she seems. The character was named Black Widow in the comic books. Never a good sign. Fighting at Stark's side is his comrade, Lieutenant Colonel Rhodey Rhodes, played by Don Cheadle, who's, while rocketing through a blizzard of enemy missiles, the two find time to talk. How slow must a missile be moving if your buddy has time to warn you to dodge it? Well, the best CGI sequence in the movie comes at midpoint when Tony Stark decides to drive his own car to the Monaco Grand Prix, rather in the Monaco Grand Prix, and Ivan Vanko stands fearlessly in the middle of the race, dressed like a kinky gladiator and wielding electric whips that can slice a car in two. He nearly destroys Stark, which is so exciting that we forget to wonder how he knew that Tony was driving his own car. It's after this race that Hammer shows up. Mickey Rourke gives us all the Ivan Vanko we could possibly wish for, unless he had a third arm to provide space for more tattoos. His performance features flashing his gold teeth in mirthless laughter and lots of growling. Sam Rockwell gives a wry comic performance as Hammer, a querulous whiner who seems in over his head in the super weapons business. You wanted a sequel? You got one. Iron Man 2, directed by the same Jon Favreau, gets the job done. Since both movies have essentially the same story arc, there aren't a lot of surprises, however, which started me to wondering how the guys survive inside those suits. Sure, the suits are armored, but their bodies aren't. How many dizzying falls and brutal blows and sneaky explosions can you survive without breaking every bone in your body? Just asking. At the end of a long day, those suits should be filled with bloody pulp. And so that's Iron Man 2. And this leaves us barely a minute for the movies on TV this weekend. So let's take a look here. At Friday at 2:30 p.m., we've got North by Northwest on Turner Classic Movies. 5 o'clock on Friday, got Lolita, still Turner Classic Movies. And Saturday, 7:30 a.m., Turner Classic Movies has Anne of Green Gables. And then it offers at noon, Please Don't Eat the Daisies. Now, Sunday evening, Masterpiece Theater is Foyle's War, The Hide, in which we have a newly retired Foyle involving himself in the case of a local man who's been condemned to death for collaborating with the Germans. And, folks, I guess we are starting to run out of time for this episode of Movie Reviews and Theater Previews. I'm Kurt Benrud, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I ought to throw in that this show is intended for the sight and hearing impaired, sight and print impaired. And thank you for listening. Check with me again in a couple of weeks. Take care.